Welcome to the Parlay Tapes Podcast. We're your hosts,
Erica
and Ephraim.
It's that time again, so grab a drink and a snack and get comfortable because we're about to go in.
There's no turning back. You've already pressed play. Welcome to the Parlay Tapes Podcast. Enjoy this week's episode. Today's episode is a true crime episode. On the morning of September 20th, 1988, a 19-year-old girl left her home in Valencia County, New Mexico to go for a bike ride like she did every day. She was going to meet up with her boyfriend to play a few rounds of tennis after she got back. She would never make it to her boyfriend's or even back to her own home for that matter. She was never heard from again. Was she kidnapped? Did she vanish? As time went on, the case of this missing girl grew cold.
That is until almost a year later, when a Polaroid picture was found outside of a convenience store 1,500 miles away in Florida. The photograph is of a girl, and the resemblance of the girl in the picture to the girl who went missing almost a year prior is striking. Even stranger is that the girl in this picture is not alone.
What happened to Tara Calico? For today's episode, we're going back to the 80s, 1988 to be exact. This story will take us to Valencia County, New Mexico, specifically the small town of Belen, where a young girl by the name of Tara Calico lived. Now, we're going to give you a little background on Tara before we get started. Now, growing up, Tara did cheerleading, played softball, and loved to play tennis. At the age of 19, Tara was living at home while attending the University of New Mexico and working at a local bank. Her and her mother, Patty, took daily bike rides along New Mexico State Road 47 where they lived. These bike rides would roughly be 30 plus miles at times, round trip. Lately though, her mother stopped going along with Tara on these bike rides because of a rather recent incident that happened to them where a car was following them too close for comfort and kept driving by them as if to follow them. Now this scared Patty, which is why she stopped riding along with Tara. But Tara wasn't fazed and continued on her bike rides. Now, on the morning of September 20th, 1988, Tara would go on one of her routine bike rides. Nothing out of the ordinary. She was planning to meet up with her boyfriend after her bike ride and play some tennis. This was around 9:30 a.m. And before Tara left, she told her mom, "Hey mom, if I'm not back by noon, come and look for me. See you later." And she was on her way. It was a little past noon when Tara's mother, Patty, noticed Tara wasn't home yet. So Patty got in her car and went to go look for Tara. Once Patty hit the halfway point of Tara's usual path, where she would turn around at the train tracks and head back, she starts to think, well, maybe I missed her. Now remember guys, this is 1988. There were no cell phones like there are now, no social media or anything like that. But Tara's mom at this point was feeling panicked. She got a hold of Tara's boyfriend, asking if she's with him, and when he said that she wasn't, Patty called the police.
Belen being a small town and all, someone must have seen something.
Well, that's just it. It wasn't until the police got involved that multiple eyewitnesses came forward and said they saw something.
What did the eyewitnesses say?
Well, more than one person came forward and said that they saw a girl riding a bike. But what raised some concern was that they also saw a Ford pickup truck trailing behind her, driving at an unusually slow speed. One even said that they saw someone exit the truck and approach Tara.
She didn't notice that a truck was behind her?
It was said that Tara would take her yellow Walkman cassette player with her to listen to music on her bike rides. So if she was listening to music, I could see how she didn't hear the truck's engine or anything else for that matter. But a few days after Tara went missing, Tara's boyfriend, her friends, and family along with police were out searching for her. So they acted quickly, driving up and down highways and looking for her in the fields along the path that she would have taken. A massive effort was made in her search. Search dogs were deployed, boat searches along the Rio Grande that was close by were made. The community got involved. People were searching for Tara day and night. Now, police caught a break when they came upon two sets of tire tracks running alongside each other. One set belonging to a truck, and the other set belonging to a bicycle.
Oh, okay. So that's something?
Yeah, so it seems like they can sort of pinpoint where Tara potentially was taken. They also found pieces of a yellow Walkman, just like the one that Tara owned, further down the road. They also found the cassette tape that Patty identified later as belonging to Tara.
Wow. Do you think Tara was possibly like leaving a trail, like clues?
Well, it's possible. She may have been doing that thinking that her mom would come for her. Because remember when she left, she said, hey, mom, you know, if I don't come back around the time, you know, that she said she was, you know, come look for me. And that she could have been doing that. You know, she was a smart girl.
Like a trail. Because, I mean, she was 19. So leaving a trail, or if she was taken or snatched, you know. If she was able to break something before she left or during a struggle.
Well, yeah, and if we combine that with the eyewitness accounts, one can assume that the case was picking up steam. A few days after these developments, police released a sketch of a potential suspect that was made from eyewitness descriptions. So people saw,
So a sketch was made.
Mm-hmm. And once they made the sketch, all the local news networks put the sketch out for people to see. Unfortunately, nothing came from this sketch, and it would be 9 months before any new information would be found in this case that seemed to be going cold fast. So it's unfortunate, you know. Yeah. You think nowadays you have a sketch and you know you see those sketches and they never look like the person.
Even now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't imagine back then the resources.
I mean, yeah, it was the 80s and people, you know, the sketches were pretty much all they had to go on besides like, you know, fingerprints and all the other stuff, which then, you know, it's not as advanced, like you said, as it is now. But 9 months went by, and it wasn't until June 15th, 1989, that a break would occur in Tara's case, 1,500 miles away in Port St. Joe, Florida. Now, a woman was running errands when she stopped at a local convenience store. She parks her car and notices a white van parked in front, but thinks nothing of it until she comes back out of the store and notices a Polaroid picture face down on the ground where the van parked just a few moments ago. She flips the picture over, and what she sees next brings chills down her spine. Okay, so we're in Port St. Joe, Florida now, 1989. 9 months after Tara Calico was reported missing, a woman just found a Polaroid picture on the ground outside of a convenience store.
Okay, I'm shaking. What does the photo show?
Well, when she flips the picture over, she sees a teenage girl and a young boy laying on a bed that appears to be inside a van. Their hands appear to be tied behind their back and have tape covering their mouths.
What?
Exactly. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. Now, this picture is chilling. For those out there listening and are curious about what we're describing, just Google Tara Calico and you'll see the picture we're talking about.
Wow, that's
I know.
So crazy.
I mean, when I first heard about this case a while ago, you know, that's one of the first things I saw, and it was just intense.
Yeah. I remember when we were first looking at the case and I saw the picture as well. And I just can't imagine, you know, being her mom or people in her family, and then this is a new clue or evidence that might be potentially.
Well, and before all that even happened, now, the lady who found it, naturally, she freaked out and takes the picture straight to the local authorities. The police then released the picture to the media in an effort to try to identify the kids in the picture. So right now, the kids in the picture aren't, you know, they're not making the connection yet.
Yeah.
So they do the smart thing and put the picture out there to try to identify them. Well, the photo made national news and tips began coming in, creating potential leads to help identify these children. So at this point, the FBI gets involved.
So you're saying, is the girl in the picture Tara? Who's the boy?
Well, great questions, but let's go back a little. As a matter of fact, let's go back 2 months before Tara disappeared.
Okay.
A father and son went on a camping trip in New Mexico. About 20 minutes into the camping trip, the father noticed that he hadn't seen or heard from his son. The dad began to search for his son frantically without any success, and ultimately he was never found.
Oh man, like New Mexico, that rings a bell. That's where Tara was from.
Well, exactly. And there's some connections that are going to start to pop up. So when the picture was found in Florida almost a year later, once it hit national news, the image was seen by Tara's family and also seen by the Henley family, who believed that the boy in the picture was Mike Henley, the little boy who went missing on that camping trip with his father.
That is so crazy. Finding a picture almost a year later, and the potential that it could be those two people.
Well, and that's the thing, when the officers or the FBI, they released this picture, you know, by this time it spread like wildfire, and Tara's family and the Henley family, or Mike Henley's family, saw this picture and immediately said, hey, you know, this has to be our son, or this has to be our daughter.
Yeah. And again, you said like the picture, they have their mouths covered, right?
Yeah, they have like, it looks like black electrical tape.
So the only thing you're really going off of is their eyes and maybe their hair, you know, their skin tone.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it can look, it looks pretty similar. It could look like, you know, her.
I mean, and who would know but family? Yeah. You know, you see a picture of somebody you know and instantly, you know who they are. Well, now, it seems like we're making progress, but unfortunately, it wouldn't be a happy ending for the Henleys, who were hoping that the picture was a sign that he was still alive. A year after the picture surfaced, Mike Henley's remains were found in the Zuni Mountains in New Mexico. The official cause of death was ruled as exposure to the elements.
So the boy in the picture wasn't him?
No, and what sucks is he wasn't that far away, but I looked on the map for the Zuni Mountains and it's all brush and trees.
So he could have just gotten lost.
So it's easy for someone to get lost, but the thing about that is they found him, and some reports I read said that he died of hypothermia.
Okay.
But he just died of exposure. Like, he was out there too long.
Wow.
He was a young.
So
he was
sad.
Young. Yeah. So, no, it wasn't him. It wasn't Mike Henley in the picture. They were actually able to identify the body of the boy that was found a few miles from the campsite through dental records, confirming it was Michael Henley.
Wow.
I know.
What about the girl in the picture? Is it Tara?
Well, see, that's just it. There's an extremely close resemblance to Tara and the girl in the picture. When the picture surfaced, the FBI, along with local law enforcement, had experts analyze the picture.
Okay.
But the FBI didn't think the girl in the picture was Tara either.
Really?
Yeah. So,
What about the family? What did they think?
Well, looking at old interviews, when I was trying to find some more information on this, I was looking at articles and old documentaries, and they've been back and forth. They were sure it was her at first. When they first saw the pictures, they said, you know, yes, it's her. But over the years, it was more like they were hoped it was her. I mean, it does look a lot like her. What do you think?
Well, when I look at the photo, the girl in the photo looks younger than Tara, I think, to me.
Okay.
I don't know. It looks like it could be her, but I don't think it is. I don't think so.
Well, it's just crazy to me because it's been more than 30 years and no one has come forward, or no one has been found as the culprit after all this time. And what is upsetting is that the statute of limitations has passed.
Really?
Yeah. There's a limit of time where someone can be charged if too much time passes. And at this point, it's more about getting answers and getting the family closure. It's been 30 plus years and no arrests have been made.
Wow.
So, you know, it's sad. It's kind of like, you know, we just want to know what happened.
What happened?
And some of the family, you know, they have theories. I think the sister went on record to say that she believes that, you know, Tara was on a bike like she normally is, and some boys in a truck or something, or catcalling her and saying stuff. And, you know, it escalated. And she feels like maybe they went too far and things got out of hand and they tried to cover everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's been missing all this time. And then some other theories that I read, some people say that, oh, everybody knows who did it, but since it's such a small town, they don't want a negative light. So, you know, they're trying to keep things under wraps, but then we're going down the conspiracy route. So,
yeah, it's just, it's been so long and so little clues, and just her going on that bike ride on that, you know, isolated area.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, and it's one that she did all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, what sticks out to me is her and her mom would go on them, and they had that little incident that occurred, and the mom stopped going. But
what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I get it. The mom was freaked out. You know, Patty, she was freaked out about it, and she stopped going. But Tyra's like, hey, this is what I do. I'm not going to stop going out and doing what I do. You know, I just...
Yeah, and she, you know, like you were saying, she had her, you know, possibly her headphones in listening to music.
Yeah.
So it was easy for her not to maybe hear somebody like behind her or a car close by.
Yeah, because eyewitnesses said that they saw somebody, you know, run out of the truck and approach her. So yeah.
I think about that when I go out for a walk, you know. I try to keep like one headphone off, you know, my ear, so I can kind of be more aware of my surroundings.
That's smart. And typically, you know, to try not to like put the music too loud so you can kind of hear what's going on around you and stuff. So that's smart. But it's sad, you know, it's 30 plus years and still unsolved, but it's still active. So
we don't have
to, you know, but guys, you know, this is the end of today's episode and we hope you, enjoyed it. It was a lot of research that we did on this one, but it is a sad case and we'll keep you updated.
The case we discussed today is still going on and we will post any updates on all of our social media platforms as they occur as well as in future episodes.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.